The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
First this morning, videos have gone viral of the treatment of the Gaza flotilla activists who are currently being detained in Israel. One of those videos shows an Irish citizen being grabbed and forced to the ground after shouting "Free Palestine" as Israel's National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir walked by. Let's get the latest on this. I'm joined firstly by Sky News Middle East correspondent Adam Parsons. In a moment, I'll speak to Dan Pfefferman, who's a retired major and former IDF intelligence member and co-founder of Middle East 24. But Adam, first to you, what has the reaction been to this in Israel and further afield?
Well, I think outside of Israel, you've seen this reaction from a variety of countries who've expressed shock and anger, whether that is Ireland, United Kingdom, France, Canada, Spain, the list goes on. Israeli ambassadors have been summoned, and foreign ministers and Giorgia Meloni in Italy, prime ministers have said that this treatment is appalling and shocking. In Israel, well, you haven't had nearly that level of outrage. But what you have had are rebukes from within the cabinet, and that's unusual. And that goes, Gideon Saar, the foreign minister, was very quick out of the blocks after this video was released to say that Itamar Ben-Gvir, in his opinion, doesn't represent Israeli values, and this is not the country that we are. Gideon Saar, you know, this is no shrinking liberal politician. He's a pretty tough foreign minister who toes the party line. So that was unusual. And then a rebuke from Benjamin Netanyahu himself against Ben-Gvir. So what we haven't seen yet, Claire, is anybody coming out in support of Ben-Gvir, other than Itamar Ben-Gvir himself, who has doubled down and is, as he always is, wholly unapologetic. And pretty proud of his position.
You might just explain to us this uncomfortable coalition that we have in power in Israel at the moment. This is why we have this disparity in views.
It is, and politics really underlies so much of this. So you do have a coalition which includes Mr. Netanyahu's Likud party, a formidable right-wing party here. But in order to maintain power, he's have to embrace coalition parties who are much more extreme, much more far right, and led by firebrand politicians. There are two of these. Bezalel Smotrich is the finance minister. He's a man of very strong opinions. He's been a little more muted recently, whereas Ben-Gvir, who is very far right, nationalist by any standards, has become ever more forthright, including recently pushing through parliament legislation that makes the death penalty the default penalty for Palestinians and only Palestinians who are found guilty of certain terrorism offences. And he celebrated that decision with champagne and with a badge showing a sort of golden noose. This is a man who never backs down and says things that here, and even in Israel, a country that's becoming ever more right-wing in its outlook, a lot of people find him wholly unpalatable.
So tell me what happens now when it comes to these activists who have been detained.
Well, they are going to be deported. Netanyahu, in his statement yesterday, made it clear that he wants these people out. Now, I mean, I think we should say the flotillas are not popular in Israel. So the fact that the Israeli naval forces intercepted these people and detained them, very few people in Israel believe that that is outrageous. It's the treatment, it's the humiliation of them that has outraged people. They are going to be deported. We're talking about over 400 people from many, many countries. So that process will take time. They've been held in the port of Ashdod. Getting flights in and out of Israel at the moment, logistically, it is not that straightforward. But my feeling is that once Netanyahu has effectively said, "I want this off my table," I think heaven and earth will be moved today to get as many of these people deported home as quickly as possible.
Now, we began by talking about the international reaction to this, and I'm sure you're aware that our own Prime Minister, Taoiseach Micheál Martin, said he's seeking to get broader agreement in Europe on reviewing trade relations under the European Union-Israeli Association Agreement. Will there be concern, do you think, in Israel, now that that has been put on the table off the back of this incident?
There is concern. There is absolutely concern among some in Israel about international relations. You take Ben Gavir, he doesn't care. He doesn't really mind what the world thinks, except, Claire, for the United States. So I think there are many on the right of Israeli politics who think that Europe has left them behind, that they can't count on European friendships. And that doesn't go sort of across the board. That's a spectrum. But the one nation they cannot afford to ostracize is the United States. That is, for Israel, which has so few diplomatic friends left, that is their big supporter. And the fact that yesterday Donald Trump criticized Ben-Gavir, that will have been noticed. Also will have been noticed was Trump saying that basically Benjamin Netanyahu does whatever Trump tells him to do. That will have felt very, very painful. That's the relationship they have to hold on to. But clearly this is a nation that imports and exports. High tech is something of which it's enormously proud and very successful. And it does. And it's more pragmatic position. It knows that it needs to have a working relationship with Europe. But I mean, hey, look at the Eurovision Song Contest. Multiple countries boycotting that because of the presence of Israel. I don't think any Israeli politician is kidding themselves that relations with Europe are in a good place.
Mm-hmm. But I suppose the Eurovision is one thing, a song contest is one thing, but trade is quite another.
Yeah, that for sure is true. But things like Eurovision are seen as emblematic of a wider lack of trust. And ultimately, the sort of further right you will go with politics, the more you get into the realms of ideology, of support, of that fundamental backing of the state of Israel. Now, trade is important, of course, for this country, but so is developing ties with the rest of the region. I don't think that trade with Europe would be seen by anyone here as the be-all and end-all, particularly if it was portrayed by some in this political sphere as being a sort of erosion of Israel's sovereign right to make its own decisions.
Understand that view. Thank you very much, Adam Parsons, Sky News Middle East correspondent. Well, let's go now to Dan Pfefferman, who is with us, former IDF intelligence major and editor-in-chief of Middle East 24. Dan, you're welcome to the programme. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
What's your view on this video that we have all seen of these flotilla activists essentially being humiliated by Ben-Gavir?
I mean, look, it's Ben-Gvir is considered really a clown in Israeli politics. And, you know, the fact that he was basically forced himself to be appointed to this new made up title of national security minister, which is really just basically the minister of the police, was a nod by Netanyahu at the elections that he needed Ben-Gvir's, you know, a handful of coalition seats in order to form a coalition while holding his nose the whole time. Ben-Gvir is doing this as a publicity stunt for a domestic audience. Even though his audience, his electorate has shrunk in recent years, he is a populist. He is a hardline far-right nationalist populist. And he does not think, he doesn't care about the international community. Everything he does is theater. At the same time, and of course, we have to remind ourselves that this entire flotilla is a piece of Hamas theater.
That's not what they were doing. They were trying to get aid to people.
They're absolutely not trying to get aid. Let's not kid ourselves. They should be arrested with a proper procedure. They should be handled with dignity and respect. Prime Minister Netanyahu, Foreign Minister Saar were absolutely correct in that.
They were seized, abducted, according to our own Prime Minister, Taoiseach Micheál Martin, by the Israeli government in the high seas, not even in Israeli waters. And you're saying that Katrina Graham, who we saw being pushed to the floor with her head on the ground, you're saying that she's a Hamas supporter?
They're absolutely Hamas supporters. They shouldn't be mishandled.
But they're not. How can you say that?
Of course they are. Of course they are. If their goal is to get aid into Gaza, they can join the many international mechanisms and organizations that are sending in dozens and hundreds of truckloads of aid into Gaza every day through pre-approved mechanisms, and they don't need to do a media stunt like this flotilla in order to do this. Nowhere else in any international conflict can anyone try or would anyone think to break a naval blockade on a war zone, on an active war zone. And so if their goal is aid, there are much better ways, because aid is getting in every single day through approved mechanisms. Half the Arab world, the United States, the UN, everyone is sending in aid. Israel is allowing it. Israel is coordinating. Israel is facilitating it. That's not the issue. They wanted to cause
immediate
provocation.
But Israel stopped the aid getting in, and we saw at the peak of this
conflict.
Israel
hasn't stopped any aid getting in.
But it did. It absolutely did. With the Americans setting up this organization to get aid in, not using the usual UN routes, we saw that happening.
Because the UN mechanisms were completely infiltrated and controlled by Hamas, and all of those the supposed aid was going straight to Hamas, who was then selling it at 10 times the price to impoverished Gazans, and so. You can criticize the U.S. Mechanism, the Global Health Fund, if I recall the name correctly. You can criticize its effectiveness. Did it work or not? But the intent was how to get aid actually to the Palestinian civilians and not to the Hamas thugs who were appropriating it by force and then selling it at 10 times the price to impoverished Gazans. So what this flotilla is about, let's not forget, this is a media stunt. Should Israel, and by the way, the Israeli Navy handled it with absolute professionalism. The Israeli Foreign Ministry handled it with absolute professionalism. And it's a shame that
how can you say, Dan, that it is appropriate for the Israelis to seize people who are in, not in Israeli waters, in international waters, and forcibly bring them to Israel, when they're then, and I accept that you think that is wrong, where they're then told to get on the ground, put your hands behind your back and put your head on the floor while a minister shouts abuse at you and encourages the IDF soldiers to do the same, and then deport them from a country. Sorry, Dan, if you let me finish.
Yeah.
Then deport them from a country that they didn't want to be in. What they were trying to do was to get aid into Gaza, where we are told only 20% of the truck traffic that needs to go in there is currently getting in. What about that is right, to treat citizens, international citizens, in this way?
So again, let's differentiate. The entire flotilla is a media stunt caused to push this issue constantly into the media to not actually get aid to the Palestinians. It's a media stunt caused to embarrass Israel. The first part of what Israel did was handle it incredibly professionally. The second part with Ben-Gvir, and I very much agree to what you're saying and to what the previous guest was saying and to what our own prime minister and foreign minister was saying, was that it should never have happened. This is not how you manage these things professionally. What Ben-Gvir did with these protesters or flotilla participants being humiliated is not something that should have been done in a country that acts according to international norms.
I just find it they should have been
sent back to their countries, okay. And that's it.
Just the fact that you say that the aid is getting in to Gaza and there's no issue there.
There's absolutely no problem with humanitarian aid.
Concern worldwide says famine persists in Gaza. Medicines Sans Frontières says mass starvation is spreading across Gaza. UNICEF Ireland saying that parents are still desperately trying to keep their children alive. And yet you say all of those independent organizations are incorrect and everything is fine.
Even during the height of the war, it has now come out by almost every single serious international organization, including the UN, that there was never serious famine or starvation in Gaza, and certainly not now during the ceasefire, when plenty of aid by international mechanisms, including Arab countries, including the United Nations, including aid organizations, is getting in with zero restrictions and zero problem. I'm not sure where you're getting this information from, but it's completely detached from the reality.
I don't know where you're getting your information from. I'm getting it from independent aid organizations whose business it is to get the aid into Gaza, and they cannot do it. That's what they're telling us.
I'm not aware of that. From what I'm aware of here on the ground is that the aid gets in at more than enough levels for the population of Gaza.
Uh-huh. And yet you say it is perfectly fine for the Israeli Defense Forces to head out into the high seas, into international waters, and say, you can't go to Gaza because we say so. You also can't be en route to Gaza in international waters, even though we've no authority in this part of the sea. We're going to seize you, forcibly bring you to Israel, and treat you like dogs before sending you home.
So they shouldn't be treated like dogs, and that's the one issue that I'll agree with you on. They should be treated respectfully, according to international law, where everything else of this story, with the exception of Minister Ben-Gvir's debacle, was done according to international law and international norms.
Well, how is it right to go into international waters and arrest people in an area where you have no authority to do it?
You cannot send a flotilla to an active war zone with a naval blockade. You're still talking about an internationally recognized terrorist organization that has, since 2006, when it took over the Gaza Strip forcibly,
but you could, okay,
been smuggling arms into the Gaza Strip.
You can hold all of those beliefs, but you still cannot go into international waters and seize 400 people and bring them to your country. You can't do that.
I'm not aware of any other country in the world that would suffer these kinds of media stunt flotillas constantly trying constantly trying to breach these waters and naval blockades in an active war zone. This is backed by Turkey. This is connected to Hamas supporters. This is not about aid. This is about creating media stunts. It's unfortunate that one media stunt was answered with another media stunt. And it's unfortunate that Ben-Gvir's actions tainted what otherwise was a very professional treatment of the situation by the Israeli Defense Forces the Israeli Foreign Ministry.
A listener says, we can only imagine how they treat the Palestinian detainees. I can't bear to think how they are treated. And it does give us an indication,
well, they're,
doesn't
they're
it,
certainly
of what
treated
might be
better than the Israeli hostages were treated for 500 days, actually starved underground in Gaza, beaten, raped. And all of this has been documented, nobody should be mistreated, but certainly the Israeli hostages who were taken from their beds on October 7th were treated infinitely worse.
I don't think anybody would argue.
Look, but Dan, I'm not in favor of anybody, whether they are a terrorist or a civilian, being mistreated or mishandled by anybody.
Are you concerned when you have international leaders like Micheál Martin here in Ireland saying that he is now going to push for a change in the European Union-Israeli Association Agreement, which would impact trade and your economy on foot of this incident?
Well, again, these are the kind of incidents that should never happen. They should have been treated professionally and sent back to their countries, like the previous flotilla detainees, by the way, were treated. We've been concerned in general, by the way, here in Israel, by the foreign policy direction of your government, and that it seems overly sympathetic to dangerous terrorist organizations such as Hamas. But that's an issue aside.
Like
Ben-Gvir, he does not think about foreign policy, and everything he does is a media stunt for, unfortunately, for a populist domestic audience that votes for him. I'm not sure how many of them will still vote for him, but it's unfortunate that it interferes in our actual foreign policy.
And Dan, I know that we have conflicting views and information on what's happening in Gaza when it comes to aid. Would you support journalists being allowed into Gaza so that we can have clarity on these issues?
I think journalists should absolutely have access. In the past, I know it's been incredibly first of all, dangerous for journalists to enter a war zone, but journalists do enter war zones around the world. Yes, absolutely. And the one issue that we do need to be aware of is, in a place like Gaza, where Hamas rules with an absolute iron fist, there is no free journalism. And so anyone who had reported previously, either for Western outlets or certainly for Arab outlets, is under the boot, under the very strict censorship of Hamas, or they actively work, such as Al Jazeera journalists, work and collaborate with Hamas behind the scenes. And so there is a concern of what is reported, what is not being reported, and a lot of this has been documented over the years as well.
You can't control that. You've got to just let the journalists in. That is what happens. That is the
standard
norm, so that we can see what's happening. And I'm glad that you agree with that point. Dan, thank you very much for speaking to us. We appreciate your time. That's Dan Pfefferman. We will take a break back after this.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.